910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Chuck Sievertson. With hours to go into polls open in Battleground, Pennsylvania, Vice President Kamala Harris, former President Trump, face off in Pittsburgh, separate rallies.
That brush with death did not stop us. It only made us more determined to finish the job that we had only just started.
Pittsburgh, this is it. Tomorrow is Election Day. Tomorrow is Election Day. And the momentum is on our side.
Both candidates are heading to their final events of the evening, with Harris to Philadelphia, Trump to Grand Rapids, Michigan. Harris is effectively tied with Trump among likely voters in an Ipsos national poll published tonight. Harris leads on the issues of health care and protecting democracy. Trump has more support for the economy, immigration, and foreign policy issues, says the poll. This is ABC News. More rain's on the way for parts of Spain, still recovering from last week's severe flooding.
The storms that dumped a year's worth of rain in the Valencia region in southeast Spain have now led to canceled airline flights and the suspension of commuter rail service in Barcelona. Last week's flooding left more than 200 people dead. Anger spilling over during a weekend visit by Spain's king, queen, and prime minister. All of them were pelted by mud from angry villagers upset at what they consider a lack of warning and a lack of response by the government to the flooding. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
An Ohio Sheriff's Patrol commander has issued an apology after he posted on Facebook that he wouldn't help Democrats and would require proof of who a person voted for before providing aid. He's 20, and he blamed sleep aids for causing his out-of-character actions with the posts. Clark County Sheriff's Office saying the officer will remain on duty and has been given a written reprimand. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
In business, service is everything. Cintas delivers what you need to better serve your customers. Whether it's freshly laundered work apparel for almost any job imaginable, tested and inspected fire protection systems, first aid and safety supplies, on-site AED training, or mops and restroom products stocked and ready when you need them. Better work days happen together. So visit Cintas.com.
Oh, I'm ready!
And get ready for the workday.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Did you get Norske Nook pie for breakfast? Mr. Buck, I don't see any raspberry cream cheese pie over by you, so point for me.
Good morning, Mr. Buck.
Sometimes you're just incredibly mean.
Can we be happy for the fact that Todd Alba is delivering pies? Don't we have the best coworkers here?
Oh, yeah, great. With you literally rubbing pie in my face.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning, 6 until 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The Packers fall to the Lions. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It was an NFC North battle, and the Packers came up short, losing 24-14 to the Detroit Lions. Jordan Love throwing an interception, returned for a touchdown, a quarterback rating of just 69.7.
You know, it's definitely disappointing. Putting the ball in jeopardy way too many times, and definitely something I have to clean up.
The Lions improved to 7-1. The Vikings in second place after beating the Colts 21-13. The Packers head into the bye in third place at 6-3. Baseball, the Brewers with two players named Gold Glove winners, Sal Frelick and Bryce Turang. The last time two Brewers won in the same season, 1979. Sixto Lascano and Cecil Cooper. NBA, Bucks in Cleveland to face the Cavaliers. Milwaukee now 1-5. Bobby Portis says his home was broken into during Saturday night's game.
I know we've gotten out to a horrible start to start the season, but while I was at my game yesterday, I had a home invasion and they took most of my prized possessions.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment feed, I'm Pete Schwabba. Barbenheimer 2.0 is just around the corner, with films Gladiator 2 and Wicked kicking off the holiday box office season in a couple weeks. However, last weekend's box office did not impress. The movie Here, starring Tom Hanks, Robin Wright, and directed by Robert Zemeckis, landed with a thud on opening weekend. Here did not review particularly well, and audience approval is hovering at around 60%. The film whiffed big time with only a $5 million opening weekend, which landed it in fifth place overall. Repeating as box office champ following its opening weekend is Venom: The Last Dance. The third and final chapter of DC's Venom franchise took in $26 million domestically. Rounding out the top five are The Wild Robot in second place, Smile 2 at number 3, and Conclave at number 4. Another disappointment at the box office was Liam Neeson's new action film Absolution, which finished in 12th place, barely cracking $1 million. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A cloudy sky tonight, some showers around, especially late, and lows in the low 40s. For tomorrow, areas of rain, staying cloudy and cool, highs only in the mid-40s. Showers wrap up tomorrow night, partly sunny and a high in the upper 40s Wednesday. It's 46 right now.
Pat Kreitlow.
Tuesday morning, we broadcast from Madison with Deborah Cronmiller from the League of Women Voters and Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski as we kick off Election Day in Wisconsin.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Time for a deep dive into the one issue that matters most in a capitalist democracy, money. This is Maggie and the Millionaires Talking Money, a joint production of the Maggie Dawn Show and the Patriotic Millionaires.
What's up, y'all? It is the 3 o'clock hour, and that means it is Maggie and the Millionaires Talk Money. I've got a great guest for us this afternoon. He was my first guest in this special segment, and so it's only fitting that in this lead up, these final hours before the big 2024 election and before the tax fight of 2025 kicks off on November 6th, that he joins me today. Cardi, if you can make sure that he's added to the stream. There he is. The famous Morris Pearl, former managing director at BlackRock, one of the world's largest investment firms, one of the original patriotic millionaires, now the board chair for the PMs. Welcome back, Morris. It's great to have you.
Thank you. Great to be in your show.
Listen, folks, because Morris has done this so many times, I asked him before we came on, could we take a couple of callers if you have questions for our good friend Morris? And he said, indeed, yes. So a very special episode here where you can ask questions of Morris or myself, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. But as we are, you know, under 48 hours from potentially knowing who the next president is, Morris, let's start there. What are the biggest differences between the two candidates when it comes to tax policy?
I don't know if we're going to know who the next president is in 48 hours.
This is true. Maybe.
It might take a few minutes longer than that.
Yes.
But I think the biggest difference is that one side, they think the way to help people do better is by giving more money to rich people and thinking somehow that will trickle down to everyone else. And the other side thinks the way to help all the everyone else do better is to send money to everyone else.
Pretty basic. Do you give more money to rich people, or whether that's in a tax break? That's one of the things that I always try to explain to people, Morris, is that from an economic perspective, a tax break for the rich is just like the government wrote them a check.
Yeah. And even better, you don't have to wait for the check to come in. You just keep the money you already have and not pay taxes. So it works out great getting a tax break. That is the major reason why people like me are wealthier now than we were back in 2017. The companies we own stock in make profits and pay half the taxes they did back then, or a lot less tax than they did back then.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, our stocks are worth more. I mean, Warren Buffett explained it, very simply 6 years ago. It's not that complicated.
Yes. Let's talk a little bit about recent history, because Donald Trump passed an absolutely huge tax cut for the wealthiest Americans and corporations. Now, In order to make this palatable, of course, he included a little drippings for us middle class folks. Can you explain to us what that Trump tax cut did for the richest among us? And I'm not talking about folks, you got a few million bucks in your 401k, or you're looking to leave a few million bucks to your kids or pay for their first house or Nope. Morris and I are talking about really, really, really wealthy people and corporations. What's Donald Trump's record there?
Well, they're hugely richer than they were back then because they're paying hugely less taxes. The corporate tax rate went from about 35% to about 21%. That's a huge decrease. That's like giving a humongous raise to all those people that own stock in those corporations, like a 40% raise. And that's like, yeah, that's one of the reasons why some people are a lot richer now than they were back then. And yeah, there were things that affected the taxes of other people who aren't rich investors, some up, some down. Net result is, yeah, some people are making a few dollars a month more than they were back then. But it's the richest people who are getting the vast, vast, vast majority of all of the benefits of the 2017 tax cut.
Folks, this is Morris Pearl. He is the board chair of the Patriotic Millionaires, my special guest today on this episode of Maggie and the Millionaires Talk Money. Donald Trump keeps saying, like, I'm going to use tariffs to pay for everything that we need and solve all of America's problems. What are tariffs at this level going to do for regular working middle class Americans, Morris?
Well, if they're successful, they will raise the prices of the things that the regular Americans buy. Mm. That's the whole point of a tariff, is to raise prices so the people making the stuff can make more profits. If you're trying to sell blue jeans and you're competing against someone importing them from China, the tariff will make the person have to charge more higher prices so you can charge higher prices for yours. And that way, instead of getting the low-priced blue jeans from China, the Americans who want to buy blue jeans will have to pay a higher price. Mm. And then they'll be willing to buy your blue jeans because they're both be the same price. And you can charge more.
Yeah, it's really, there's this really interesting interaction that can happen over some time, Morris, that you're describing with tariffs, right? So that the importing companies that sell those goods in the United States, they will be selling those previously cheaper goods at a higher price. That means that American companies, their similar product, you may be more inclined to buy because now it's all more expensive. And oh, by the way, it may have this domino effect where everything becomes more expensive because we get into a trade war, and or domestically based companies will actually raise their prices because the entire price pressure is upward and you end up with things like massive inflation and recessions. I mean, these are all possibilities.
That's the whole point of a tariff, is to make prices higher, to increase the profits of businesses in the United States.
This is the point. This is the very point. Let's take a quick call. We got Dick from Madison. Please say hello to Morris. And what is your question, Dick?
Good afternoon. Okay, let's carry this out and say that he was elected and the economy starts cratering simply because of what you just said. And then suddenly the customer base has no money to spend. I mean, how good is that for business if 3/4 of this country is so broke they can't keep money circulating by buying anything?
Dick, I think this is the magic question. Morris?
That's the point that we, the Patriotic Millionaires, try to make all the time. You know, what I say in every speech about wage policies is the guy who owns the bar cares a lot more about how much beer money all the people sitting in the bar have on Friday night than about the wages of the one guy standing there pouring the beer. And yeah, that's why we honestly believe, the Patriotic Millionaires, that are business people and investors, that what's good for having a robust middle class is good for everybody. We would rather build businesses and invest money in a place, a country filled with people who have enough money to buy stuff. it's very short term to try to think that you want to be greedy now and get more money now and not leave any for everyone else. So, I mean, I think tariffs are just a bad idea for everybody. And, you know, I think very few people benefit from tariffs, except if you are a manufacturer of something and you're trying to compete with somebody in another country manufacturing that same thing and selling it to Americans for less money. Those business owners could benefit from a tariff.
But ultimately not the middle class people buying the products, because we will be paying more across the board, which over the longer, medium to long term, makes it even difficult for those American-based manufacturers. It is a cyclical phenomenon. Kamala Harris has said that she doesn't want to raise taxes and won't raise taxes on anybody that makes $400,000 a year or less. Do you think that that makes sense? Do you think it's a fair cutoff? Should it be higher or lower? What do you think, Morris?
Well, yeah, I think there should be a cutoff. I mean, we recommended a slightly higher number, $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think the detail is that important. I mean, it is important for people who earn $400,000.
Yes.
But I think the point is that we want to raise taxes on the rich.
Yes.
And where, exactly how you define that, I mean, $1 million, $10 million, whatever. We want to raise tax on the rich people. We don't want to raise taxes on people that are living paycheck to paycheck, which honestly is almost everybody in America, unfortunately.
She has also said that she supports increasing the Social Security payroll tax cap, which people talk about as scrapping the cap. So my first question, Morris, is what is that? And it enrages me to hear people like Eric Hovde, who's running for Senate in the state of Wisconsin, and other fiscal hawks talk about raising the age of Social Security to better fund Social Security when we stop assessing a Social Security tax, payroll tax, at $140,000. Makes no sense. Please explain scrapping the cap and if this is a good idea, Morris.
Well, sure. The way the Social Security works is it's a thing that's funded by a special tax just for Social Security. The tax rates are a certain percentage between the employer and the employee. It's like 12 point something percent from zero to 140,000, and then zero above 140,000. You don't pay any more.
So if you make over $140,000 a year, which would be, you know, wealthier middle class folks, and then of course the wealthiest, you don't pay a single dollar in Social Security tax for your $140,001st dollar. Is that
correct? And all the dollars. When I was an investment banker, we got an end of year, we got a bonus paid in January. They deducted $10,000 or so for security. I was the only Social Security I ever paid because I hit the cap in January when I got a bonus check for the previous year. That was it. I just thought, oh, Social Security, a one-time thing you pay in January for $2,000 a year, you know? And yeah, so it hits a much higher percentage for people that work all year than for rich people. Rich people pay a very low percentage because they only pay the $10,000 or so, and that's it. Regular people that work all year round, they pay 6 or 7% on their entire income of every paycheck.
And of course, neither Donald Trump nor Eric Hovde want to scrap the cap. That is a Kamala Harris, Tammy Baldwin position. We've got so much more coming up in this next segment with our special guest, Morris Pearl, the board chair of the Patriotic Millionaires, a prior managing director at BlackRock, the world's largest investment firm. We're going to keep talking about tax and wage policy, all the stuff that hits you in your pocketbook. You're not going to want to miss it. And why tomorrow's election is your opportunity to protect your pocketbook. We come back on today's episode of Maggie and the Millionaires Talk Money here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt Nair on Air.
Let's get back to live music in the lair with Kaylin Cole. The next song you have for us tonight is called 1103. Yes. Is that a time or a flight number?
Oh, that's actually really good. That's a good idea. I think I might have to write another song with that. You'll get 50%.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at MaxIncRadio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Matt Nair on air. This shouldn't be a thing.
Woman pleads guilty to trying to smuggle 29 turtles across a lake in Vermont into Canada by kayak so they could eventually be sold in Hong Kong.
So they could vote illegally in November.
Stop box turtles from voting. She's facing 10 years in prison.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
He's a comedian, a writer, and an actor, and teaches comedy. One of Wisconsin's own. Dobie Maxwell joins me here on Nightlight. Hey, Dobe.
Pete Schwabba, I am Chico. You're the man. Can you hear me? Is my Amish wood-burning computer plugged into the...
You got Amish. Oh, you got to update, buddy. I got gas powered and it's working like a charm. So it'll change your life.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is in the 3 o'clock half-hour block. That means it is Maggie and the Millionaires Talk Money. My special guest today is Morris Pearl. He is the board chair of the Patriotic Millionaires and a former managing director of BlackRock, the world's largest investment firm. We've been talking about Donald Trump's record on taxes. Let me summarize. Tax cuts for the wealthiest. The 100 millionaire sets, tax cuts for the largest, most consistently profitable corporations, and pittance to the rest of us. And it's only going to get worse if Donald Trump is reelected. More tax cuts for the billionaire bros. We may create the world's first trillionaire. More corporate tax cuts, which means less tax cuts for working people. By definition, you give one billionaire one tax cut, that's a whole tons of thousands of hundreds of thousands of us that can't get that same tax break. Why would we be giving billionaires bigger tax breaks? It defies any reasonable explanation at all. Morris knows all about it. Let's dig into some of those tax questions, and then we'll take your questions and or texts. 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. Kamala Harris supports raising the capital gains tax rate and taxing, quote, unrealized gains. So as wealth is increasing, even if people haven't sold the asset that created that wealth increase, she thinks we should tax that. For those not familiar with this or familiar with what capital gains are, can you explain what this is and what she's proposing?
Let me talk about income. Your income is the money you get in your paycheck every week with taxes deducted from it. That's how most people get their income. And every week, taxes are deducted. Some people, like investors, get their income from just sort of sitting here watching the numbers and your screen go up as the stock prices go up. And from the stock market, we don't pay any taxes on that. That's the secret. That doesn't count as income until you sell the stock. I don't need to sell the stock ever. I can just withdraw money from my brokerage account, run a negative cash balance, and do that for my entire life. It's called buy, borrow, die. And it works great. That's how Elon Musk makes tons of money and pays no tax at all. We only have an income tax in our country. If you don't have an income, you don't have to pay any income taxes. It's that simple. You don't need an army of accountants or lawyers or anyone else. If you don't want to pay income tax, just don't have an income. It's simple enough.
Yeah, this is one of those things that, again, a dollar created from work and a dollar created from wealth are economically identical. Why we tax work more heavily than we tax the dollar created from wealth, again, defies any reasonable explanation. I do get questions all the time, Morris, about but the deficit. When we talk about tax and wage policy and trying to address our deficit, how does all of this fit together? Because if we start cutting taxes meaningfully for the middle class and maybe even giving a tax vacation for people that are only earning poverty level wages, what does that do for our deficit? Can we still pay? Can we still manage our deficit? Can we pay it down? Yes. How is that going to work?
Yes, I'm not worried about our deficit. The government of the United States creates dollars. They create more every year. The total number of dollars in existence goes up. When you have dollars in your pocket that you use to pay for something, or dollars in your bank account or whatever, that just means that's a symbol for how much stuff you're able to buy. As the total amount of stuff in our country goes up, as the population goes up, the total number of dollars in existence should go up. And it does. And that's been happening for decades, and it's going to happen in the future too. So I'm honestly not worried about this deficit. It's been going up since before I was born, and it's not been a problem. And it's going to go up for my granddaughter's entire lifetime too, and it's not going to be a problem for her either. It's the way of thinking about it is just not necessary, because the United States government is not like your personal checking account, because they're allowed to create more dollars. They're kind of different than you and I in that we don't create dollars. We can only spend the dollars that we get somehow or other.
Thanks so much for that, Morris. Really appreciate it. Got another question from one of our texters that says, can we talk about a little bit about what it was like back in earlier times? Was our tax policy, you know, coming out of the New Deal into the 50s and 60s, how was our tax power? How did it look then? And were Americans doing better then, middle class Americans doing better back then?
Back in the 1940s, the government actually made music videos about how patriotic it is to pay taxes. And people who are the high earners paid far higher tax than they do now, 70, 80, over 90%. For the very highest earners, and they were perfectly happy doing that, and the country was doing great. Well, as long as you were white, the country was doing great.
Yes.
Black people, not so much. But that, it worked very well, and people were perfectly happy with that, and there was tons of investments. We built interstate highways. We sent astronauts to the moon. We did all kinds of crazy things, building universities and hospitals and everything else, where taxes were 70 and 80 and 90% of the highest earners. The very guy who's complaining the most about taxes going up paid 70% taxes and got a hospital named after him right down the street here. It worked great. The other side is just wrong. You know, President Trump said, you know, we're lower taxes and we're going to stop abandoning factories. People don't abandon profitable factories,
yes,
and they don't pay tax on them at all either. So it just is a lie that somehow reducing rich people's taxes is the way to succeed.
Yeah, it doesn't make any gosh darn sense. There's only one candidate that promised sustained tax relief for middle class and working class folks, and that's Kamala Harris. The other guy's just billionaire giveaways. That's it. More burden on each and every one of us. My special thanks to Morris Pearl, board chair of the Patriotic Millionaires, my friend, and now yours, for sharing his wisdom with us. I'm Maggie Dawn. Keep it locked. Dom Salvia comes up next here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Chuck Sievertson. With hours to go into polls open in Battleground, Pennsylvania, Vice President Kamala Harris, former President Trump, face off in Pittsburgh, separate rallies.
That brush with death did not stop us. It only made us more determined to finish the job that we had only just started.
Pittsburgh, this is it. Tomorrow is Election Day. Tomorrow is Election Day. And the momentum is on our side.
Both candidates are heading to their final events of the evening, with Harris to Philadelphia, Trump to Grand Rapids, Michigan. Harris is effectively tied with Trump among likely voters in an Ipsos national poll published tonight. Harris leads in the issues of health care and protecting democracy. Trump has more support for the economy, immigration, and foreign policy issues, says the poll. This is ABC News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
The Packers fall to the Lions. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It was an NFC North battle, and the Packers came up short, losing 24-14 to the Detroit Lions. Jordan Love throwing an interception, returned for a touchdown, a quarterback rating of just 69.7.
You know, it's definitely disappointing. Putting the ball in jeopardy way too many times, and definitely something I have to clean up.
The Lions improved to 7-1. The Vikings in second place after beating the Colts 21-13. The Packers head into the bye in third place at 6-3. Baseball, the Brewers with two players named Gold Glove winners, Sal Frelick and Bryce Turang. The last time two Brewers won in the same season, 1979. Sixto Lascano and Cecil Cooper. NBA, Bucks in Cleveland to face the Cavaliers. Milwaukee now 1-5. Bobby Portis says his home was broken into during Saturday night's game.
I know we've gotten out to a horrible start to start the season, but while I was at my game yesterday, I had a home invasion and they took most of my prized possessions.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Martha Stewart might be dealing with a hangover due to her displeasure with her biopic Martha on Netflix. While promoting her new cookbook during an appearance on a game show similar to Family Feud, she took a shot at Ryan Reynolds. When asked which actors she would like to hang out with in real life, she listed George Clooney, her pal Snoop Dogg, and Brad Pitt, but made a point to say Ryan Reynolds is not funny in real life, adding that he is very serious. She also acknowledged her comments might not go over so well since the two are neighbors in real life. Despite the final season of Succession bringing Kieran Culkin his first Golden Globe Award, the actor has still not seen the series finale. In a recent appearance on The Late Show with Stephen Colbert, Culkin said he missed it because he was in Poland filming a movie and then went right to a vacation with his family. The actor told Colbert he knows what happens, but just sort of missed his chance. If only there was a way he could still watch it. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Clouds and some fog here are the overnight as temperatures tumble into the upper 30s, a light west breeze. Your Election Day forecast looks wet as rain moves in, some of the rain heavy. Northeast winds gusty, highs in the upper 40s. Currently 46 degrees.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Professor Charles Franklin from Marquette University Law School. This is the last poll before we will go to the polls.
In the presidential race, we have it at a one-point Harris lead, 48-47, with 5% undecided. And how those people make up their minds, who to vote for or if to vote, that's easily enough to sway this race.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Dom Selvia.
Next time, special election coverage overtime with Maggie Dawn plus former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes. And stick around for special Civic Media election night coverage. Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show. Weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
I
can't stand the rain against my window, bringing back sweet memories.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. I have to break some news. Ladies and gentlemen, Jonathan Brostoff, who is a member of the county board and I believe also a former assembly person, has committed suicide. He apparently shot himself this afternoon in Greenfield Park. Again, that is Jonathan Brostoff, Milwaukee County Board Supervisor. City of Milwaukee District 3 Alderman. He was elected to the City of Milwaukee Common Council in November of 2022. Again, this is just breaking news coming in right now. Jonathan Brostoff elected to the 3rd Aldermanic District for the City of Milwaukee in November 2022 has killed himself. He shot himself this afternoon in Greenfield Park. Absolutely heartbreaking. He also served previously as Wisconsin 19th District State Assembly Representative since January 2015. I know Jonathan. I have worked with him. He was a lovely, lovely man. He has a family. Our hearts go out again to Jonathan Brostoff's family. Again, Milwaukee Alderman Jonathan Brostoff has died. He killed himself, shot himself this afternoon. Again, our sympathies with Mr. Brostoff's family and the entire Milwaukee extended family. I know I've gotten some messages from folks that work with him at the city, that have worked with him at the county. Again, absolutely heartbreaking. Our sympathies to the Brostoff family and the larger Milwaukee family. He will be remembered as a tireless public servant. I am now welcoming to our show Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez. Thank you so much, Madam Lieutenant Governor, for making time with us this afternoon. Welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show. How are you doing in this last run-up to the big day?
You know, we're all across the state of Wisconsin talking to folks. I did just want to acknowledge what you said earlier. I served with Jonathan, and I wanted to also give my sympathy out to his family as well.
Thank you, Madam Lieutenant Governor. What a difficult moment, losing anyone in this way. But Jonathan, again, well-known, beloved by all on both sides of the aisle. He was the reasonable man that you hope to work with when you work in politics. Kind to all. I appreciate that, Madam Lieutenant Governor. I know you are calling in from the car because, again, you are going all across the state today. It is certainly very busy. Where are you? What are you feeling? What's the vibe out there that you're seeing from folks that are getting excited to go vote? What are you seeing from people on the street?
So I have been, again, all across the state of Wisconsin trying to make sure that I can knock on my own doors as well. So just today I was in West Bend and then in Grafton. And then now I am currently in Greendale and I am going to finish up my day in Waukesha. And every single one of these folks, they are launching canvases from all across the state. We have over 250 staff members across the state of Wisconsin, and volunteers just multiply those efforts all across the state. And so it's just really exciting because they're talking about electing Kamala Harris, making sure we reelect Tammy Baldwin, because that is so critical for us here in Wisconsin. Senator Baldwin has been just a tireless champion for so many industries here in Wisconsin. You know, she, as one of the first Democrats to be endorsed by the Farm Bureau here, it's really something that we want to make sure that she continues to do the work back in D.C.
Yeah, she has been not just an advocate for farmers, though the endorsement of the Farm Bureau, which was such a huge deal, especially when juxtaposed against Eric Hovde's What farm bill? I didn't read the farm. I don't know about the farm bill. What? But more broadly than that, not just her total competence as compared to her opponent, but Senator Baldwin's support for every major employer and industry in the state of Wisconsin to ensure our middle-class families are paid fairly and have clean air and clean water to breathe and to consume and to recreate in. I mean, she just up and down the list of issues, whether we're talking about reproductive rights, care for our natural resources, or support for the middle class here in the state of Wisconsin. I think the choice is clear. Do voters seem energized around particular issues, Madam Lieutenant Governor?
So, yes, there are many issues that we're talking to people on the doors about. Wisconsin is really interesting that, you know, abortion access is still top of mind, particularly for women. And they know that Hovde, since 2012, has been a staunch opponent of abortion rights. I don't care how he's trying to dance away from it right now. And they know that Senator Baldwin has authored the Women's Protection Act so that they would be able to have access to contraception, to IVF, to abortion services all across the U.S., not just in Wisconsin. She's been a leader on these types of issues. And so making sure that voters know about that is really important, but it is motivating people to go to the polls. I will tell you one small story. My mom, she's going to be 80 this year, grew up in a very conservative household, but I was born in 1975. Roe was passed in 1973. She remembers what it was like pre-Roe. And these older women who remember what that looked like, they are going to the polls and they are going to be voting for Democrats to make sure that we do not go back. And that includes, you know, Vice President Harris, but it absolutely includes Senator Baldwin.
100%. Tammy has been so out front on reproductive freedom for so long, as has Vice President Harris. A lot of commonalities there in terms of the consistency of their position. Sarah, Madam Lieutenant Governor, my special guest right now. I've got a great guest host on Mondays in the 3:30 block. His name is Dom Salvia. He's got that little show right after mine called the Dom Salvia Show. I know Dom's been sitting here like a jumping bean wanting to ask you a question or two. Dom, your questions for the Lieutenant Governor.
Yes, Sarah, great to speak with you once again. I appreciate you running around, getting the vote out, getting people motivated to the polls. I'm curious, this constitutional amendment question, have you come across, are people asking about it? What's the consensus? Is it confusing to them? What are you finding out when you're out talking to people?
So a lot of people are not aware of the constitutional amendment. And if your listeners are not aware, there is a constitutional amendment on the ballot that changes one word of our Constitution. We already require individuals to be citizens to vote in Wisconsin, but even though this may seem like an innocuous constitutional amendment, by changing that one word, it could affect how people have to prove their citizenship. So if you think about somebody like my husband, who's a naturalized citizen, it may make somebody like that, it may make it more difficult for them to prove citizenship if they don't have something like a birth certificate from the U.S. So we are recommending no on that constitutional amendment. We believe that the language that we already have in Wisconsin Constitution is sufficient and that we do not want to disenfranchise anybody across the state of Wisconsin.
Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez, a lot of talk on the other side about election integrity and so forth. What's the experience been? What have people said about whether or not their votes will count, access to the polls? Are folks concerned about that?
So we have heard a lot of misinformation coming out of the Republican camps about safety within this election. But we know that our clerks, our county clerks, are working just overtime to make sure that every vote is counted. These are professionals who have done this before. They take their jobs very, very seriously. And we know that it is a free and fair election within Wisconsin. To make sure you go out to vote, to make sure that your vote is counted. And if you are unaware and you are not registered yet, know that we have same day voter registration on Tuesday. So find out where your polling place is and bring your identification to make sure that you can register and then vote on that day.
Sarah, and thank you for everything you're doing for the door knocking. You're hitting up some of my favorite neighborhoods. Got great friends from West Bend, Grafton, Greendale. You tell all those folks we say hi from Civic Media, and we hope that everybody gets out to vote. Thank you, Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez, for stopping by the Maggie Dawn Show this afternoon. Happy Election Eve, my friend.
Thank you so much for having me. And everybody remember, you got to get out to vote.
Again, folks, that's Wisconsin Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez. Boy, great to have her on. And don't worry, the fun will just keep rolling because I got my very good friend Dom Salvia with me for this half hour. Dom, how are you feeling this election eve?
I got to tell you, Maggie, I'm feeling pretty good. I'm feeling good. I'm maybe it's just because I know we're close to the end. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And I can.
That's
know,
something to feel good about. Indeed.
My daily ritual of mass deletions of emails.
Yes.
I'll have more time on my hands.
Yes.
But no, I think Harris is doing a great job. The messaging has been great. I've seen. I saw her over the weekend on the YouTubes here in Wisconsin. I thought she did a great job there, and especially when we compare and contrast to the other guy. And what that messaging has been like. It is a stark difference. It's, you know, it's come together. People, if you don't agree with me, seat at the table kind of thing versus, you know, everyone's my enemy. And, oh, yeah, you can shoot through the media to get me. That's okay with me. And the weird action on the microphone. I mean, what are we, 12 years old? It is just the Trump thing is just the weirdest. And it's getting weirder. And darker every moment of every day.
Well, perhaps the best way to summarize Dom's observations about, we're going to take some sound here, Cardi. This is going to be cut 18. Dom's observations about the state of the closing arguments from both candidates, perhaps best summed up by Vice President Harris's appearance on Saturday Night Live. Let us take a listen.
Garbage truck, right? I don't really laugh like that, do I?
A little bit.
Now, Kamala. Take my Pamela. The American people want to stop the chaos.
And end the dramala.
With a cool new stepmamala. Kick back in our pajamalas and watch a rom Kamala.
Like Legally Blondela.
And start decorating for Christmas. Fa-la-la-la-la.
Or Happy Hanukkah.
What do we always say? Keep Kamala and carry on a lot.
Oh,
that was great.
It was just so perfect. Mm-hmm. Folks, you want to give your thoughts this election eve. Dom and I want to hear from you. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. In all seriousness, a candidate that can laugh at themselves.
Right. Self-deprecating a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah, a candidate that again, seems accessible, seems so familiar. Even if you hate every single one of the Democratic policies, which I guarantee you, you don't. You just don't know what they are. You can't debate the fact that she's a middle-class lady who grew up, worked her butt off, and has only had one client, the people. Like, we got the guy with the golden toilets and the weird hand gestures by a microphone. Dom, help me out here, buddy, because that's where we're at.
That is where we're at. And she is comes across as the everyday people. And I thought the SNL skit was great. I got to be honest, though. I watched some more of the SNL.
Yes.
And Tim Kaine came out. I was like,
that skit was hilarious.
And I was one of those guys. I was like, wait.
Did you know who he was?
I did, but I didn't remember his name.
Oh, my God. I knew it was Tim. I'm like, that's Tim Kaine.
I knew it was Tim. And then they give an option, a couple of last names.
Yes.
And then one of them was Tim Scott. I'm like, oh, I knew it wasn't any of the names they gave because I know it's very specific.
Not Tim Scott either.
No.
We got to take care of some business. That's Dom Salvia. You guys want to let us know what you're feeling, what you're thinking, your prognostications on this election eve, give us a call. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. I'm Maggie Dawn. Keep it locked right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. More fun ensues.
The
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Wisconsin has many state symbols, but did you know there's an official ballad?
Oh, Wisconsin, land of my dreams.
Oh, Wisconsin, land of my dreams, composed by Sherry Sarazin.
I don't think it was an hour, and I had the music matched up.
With long-ago help from her grandmother.
She wrote a poem in the late 1920s about where she lived in Wisconsin.
And it's now the state ballad. So are these also official Wisconsin symbols? The Kringle, Wood Violet, American Water Spaniel? The answer coming up. The official process could take years and includes advocating the legislature to make it law. Now, along with the official ballad, are the Kringle, Wood Violet, and American Water Spaniel also state symbols? Yes, each is a celebration of the state and a slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Todd Alba Show.
Either Donald Trump or Kamala Harris is going to win this race. Don't be the person saying, I agree with Kamala Harris on 80%, but I was really ticked off about X. I wanted to send her a message, so I didn't vote or I voted for someone else. And then you get Trump, and people are going to say, you can't have a national abortion ban. They have to listen to us. We're the people. It'll be too late. Your vote is powerful. Do not waste it.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Lena Bloom for The Bail Project.
Imagine you're stuck in a jail cell and you can't afford bail and someone offers you a way out. Just plead guilty and you can go home and kiss your kids goodnight. What do you do? What thousands have. You plead guilty whether you are or not. Cash bail makes poverty a crime. That's why The Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting to end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
What's up, y'all? I'm Maggie Dawn. Happy Election Eve. You're going to want to be a voter. This one definitely counts. Now, while you can skip election, like you don't have to vote for each race on a ballot, I highly recommend you don't, because we got new maps here in the state of Wisconsin. We have new congressional maps here in the state of Wisconsin. We've got a female candidate for president. Don't just vote on the top of the ticket. Vote all the way down the ticket, but you can leave things blank. And it is not a test. Remember, you can bring materials in and it's not a test. You can bring a friend in. You can phone a friend. Do whatever you need to do to make sure you are a voter and an informed voter at that. And of course, Civic Media has got you covered. If you are still confused about the new districts, the candidates running in the state assembly and Senate, our very own Dan Schaefer, writer of the Recombobulation, our political editor here at Civic Media, has them all broken down. You can check that out at civicmedia.us/voter guide. Join us, of course, for our special election night coverage. Dom's going to be there. I'm going to be there. It starts at 6 o'clock. All your favorite Civic Media folks will be there. Don't be square. You need to be there too. Your final thoughts and impressions, predictions, all welcome. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. But one of my most favorite longtime politicians / policy wonks from Milwaukee went off. Howard Fuller, absolutely mic dropping, talking to voters just this past week. And this is Dr. Howard Fuller, education advocate, longtime advocate and proponent, supporter of Milwaukee public schools. He helped bring choice here in Milwaukee many moons ago. He doesn't even recognize what we've got now in terms of choice and voucher schools, defunding of public education. Let's listen to what Howard Fuller had to say to voters this cycle.
Americans have watched their
communities destroyed. Not the quite right one. Nope.
The world would be better off with Saddam Hussein.
Nope.
100%.
This is cut number 12. So if you can turn that off, Cardi, we're still working through these. Hang on. All right.
I'm a single issue voter. My single issue is Donald Trump. He is the most despicable ass human being walking the face of the earth. And all of y'all out here talking about 3 cents for gas. This man wants to destroy your personhood. And so there's got to be at least one of us out here that ain't explaining about the earned tax credit or the child tax. We're saying that this is a white supremacist who is trying to destroy everything that we have fought for over the last 50 years. And I ain't got time to explain to you every damn detail about policy. This man cannot be the president of the United States. We can talk about policy after we defeat his ass. You feeling me?
So I'm feeling you, Howard.
Yeah, baby.
We have a tolerant forward to be like, yes, this is what y'all need to hear. He is a white supremacist who wants to destroy your personhood.
Wow.
He could be talking to black folks, brown folks, women folks, LGBTQIA folks. How about middle class folks? You ain't wealthy or able to cut him a big old fatty check. He don't care about you. Dom, your reactions to Dr. Fuller, I thought he nailed it.
He absolutely nailed it and so spot on. It is hard to talk about any of the other ancillary issues. When you think about policy and all the expectations that, oh, Kamala's got to do this and Kamala's got to articulate that. Are you kidding me? Just as the doctor said, this guy is coming after your personhood. He is a white supremacist. I mean, does even matter what his policies are if that's where you're starting with?
He's a white supremacist.
But he kept the trains running on time? You know, what are you talking about? And someone like that, with a character like that, doesn't matter what he claims the policies would be, they would change in an instant if it benefits him politically or gets put money in his pocket.
Money in his pocket, yep. Power behind him. That's what he's going to do. It doesn't have squat to do with you if you think it does. You've been suckered, okay? Everybody in a long con never thinks they've been conned. That is the very point of the long con. If you are a Trump voter and you work for a living, you are getting conned. You are the mark in the longest political con that this nation has seen in modern American history. You don't think you're being conned because the con's working. But trust me, you are. This guy doesn't care about you, doesn't care about your family farm, doesn't care about your kids. He doesn't even really care about the border. He doesn't. All he cares about is you voting for him so he can gain more power and money. He made over $160 million when he was in the Trump White House because he was in the White House. He made over $6 million just by forcing the Secret Service to stay in his damn hotels. You think this isn't a grift?
At marked up prices, like 300%. Oh, the government's going to be paying the bill. Well,
charge him triple.
Charge him more, because that's what every good steward of governmental dollars does, right? And this is a guy who's going to what? Clean? He's going to drain the swamp. He's going to have Mexico pay for the wall.
He is the swamp.
Of course he is.
A swamp of one. Everywhere he goes, he leaves like a trail of swamp behind him.
An oil slick.
I can't believe we're here. Happy election eve, y'all. I love every single one of you, conservatives included. Please vote your heart tomorrow. It is a private and personal endeavor. It is your vote to save democracy, to respect our veterans, to respect those who serve, to respect yourself and your neighbors, to respect those who believe differently, to love one another, to treat one another as you would want to be treated. There is only one choice tomorrow. Please vote your heart. I'm Maggie Dawn. You got Dom Salvia coming up next here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Remember, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me. But it is always better when we stand together for democracy. Go vote, y'all.
Paranoia strikes deep. Into your life it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, it is here. It is election day. Dan Schaefer will be here from the recombobulation area. Make sure you go to votes. Make sure you join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
The Todd Alba Show.
Matt Flynn joining us. This is a text off the text line. Quote, I'm dreading that it's a little too late. The last few weeks of polls are extremely bleak.
This is not the time to get wobbly. The polls right now still show her in the lead between 2 to 3 points. She used to be ahead by 5 points. So what?
Charles Franklin at Marquette Law School says polls don't vote. People do. Have a plan. Be a voter, Matt.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.